Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Lori Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show. It's the Jackie and Lori Show. The Jackie and Lori Show.
Sketchfest.
Yes.
San Francisco.
It's our... Yeah, it's our second live one in a row.
In a row, that's
and,
right.
We don't do a lot of live ones.
No.
I mean, you and I are barely conscious half the time when we do them anyway.
Right, right. But here we are. The Max Fun has brought us live shows for some reason. Nope, we've planned it before.
We brought them.
But we're bringing them along now because we're with Max Fun thing now.
Yeah. They don't give a shit, and why should they? They're here to hear
Max
podcasts.
Fun cares, though.
Oh, I know.
We get long emails.
We do.
We do. By the way, I talked to that guy from Max Fun, and he goes, you know, I listen to the show. Hi, Bikram.
Let me introduce the word bullet point.
No, all right, so here we are. Can we talk about Twitter, for God's sake?
Hello. I know you're enraged about your show last night. But
I know. I'm enraged at myself, as well I should be.
Oh, people who saw it were in.
Yeah, okay. People were
we'll
there.
Get to that. Inside.
We'll get to it.
Okay, so this started, right, as of now, I'm banned from Twitter.
Yeah.
And
boo!
So what happened was somebody sent me an email about a gig I've done before. And I have to be careful how I describe it. But
okay.
The booker said the manager of the club liked you but thought you were too blue and wants to know if you have any clean stuff. And first of all, I'm not super
you're not blue. You're not dirty.
No.
Blue is dirty. And
I don't I'm
you're
not
an adult
cunt, clit, pussy. That's not me. That's
no.
very rare, right?
That's
I mean
rare.
In my personal life as well. I don't even know what's going on down there. I try not to be involved. But so that's
you
not
have
my...
a huge chunk where you call it a gash.
Jackie, yep. I dropped the gash. I did drop that bit.
That's what he said. Oh my God. I'm so happy to be here.
You're doing act up. Shame.
I'm so happy to it not being yesterday. Go ahead.
So usually if I get a complaint, it's you're too dark. You know,
oh, right.
Please
Which
don't
is,
do
Maybe that's what they meant.
No, I don't know. The guy, the manager's like fucking Polly Walnuts, you know, who hair slicked back and thinks women should be probably features at best set up the man appropriately.
Ugh.
And, you know, the other male headliners that work that club include Bobby Slayton, you know, and my very dear, dear friend, Larry Bubbles Brown, who's fucking filthy.
And super and a thousand times darker than you.
Yes, yes, yeah. Well, not a thousand. I'm fucking in there.
Oh, you are so dark.
I'm insulted.
I'm so sorry, yes.
But here's the point. The critique was not accurate, and it's based on this guy is an old club manager. He's been... You know, he's
a fucking
music.
Dinosaur. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's based on his opinion about what women should be, okay?
Yeah.
So, you know, if I heard that all the time, I'd be like, oh, one of those. But I hardly ever hear that I'm too blue.
Right.
Okay? So, and the shows went well. And I sold a lot of my Dead People Suck, which I was like, oh, I'm probably not going to sell any here. And I sold out on Friday. So people
so even the dark stuff was really,
yes,
really working.
And I'm not a comic that goes, oh, this crowd hates blue material. Let me do five more minutes of it. I will fucking shift gears very quickly. I want to get laughs.
Yeah.
I'm not trying to walk the room.
Nope.
Okay, that's not my
goal. You've
my
never
goal
been that.
As a comic.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Same day. There's this guy that books a club that, you know, that guy.
Yes.
And so I said, she's going to write it down. So I'm like, hey, you know, I'd be happy to headline. It won't mean anything to you guys. But I'm happy to headline. You know, I've seen some people on their list of comics they headline, and I'm.
So you sent your avails, right?
I sent avails. I said, hey, happy to do a spot. Happy to headline.
Sure.
And I get this immediate email. We at least headline people who sell out immediately, and I'm like, I think think I've been to some shows that weren't sold out.
Right. But I have never been to a show there that has sold out.
Right. But it felt like I was being cornered by two same-age men.
Yeah.
And I was very irritated. So I just tweeted this vague email. I mean, a vague tweet where I said, I'm tired of waiting for old men to die.
Right.
Because that's what it feels like. I have these... Yes.
You were...
And Twitter be headquartered in San Francisco when that gets that response. You know what I mean? Yeah. But, I mean, it feels like we are just waiting for certain gatekeepers to fall over and die because they won't get fired until,
right.
until
right.
they
Neither
die.
Neither of those two guys are getting fired. And right. But I am proud that you didn't chain yourself to Twitter's doors. Yeah.
So that tweet it did okay, you know.
Yeah.
And then
the tweet did okay.
A couple old men took it personally. Yeah. Okay. I was aiming it at you specifically. I wrote it. Super,
you're a plumber, you dumb dumb. It's not. You're, yeah.
So then I replied to my own tweet saying, if you're a man who's taking this personally, you can go ahead and die right now. Targeted at anyone at all. It's
no.
it's couldn't be cast a wider net, really.
Right.
And so the first tweet, they got me suspended, I guess, and they
suspended for 10 hours. Right. Is that the first one?
I don't know. It was the notice was if you agree to delete this tweet, it's like delete this tweet and pretend you never thought this, and or you can fight it off. And so I started filling out a form. I'm like, this is ridiculous. It's a very wide open tweet. It's a joke.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not aimed at anyone in particular. And
right.
Old men are gonna die anyway. They're old, okay? I'm not waiting for babies to die. Old
right?
men are fucking next on the list, you know? And
Christopher Titus posted that goddamn video of that guy stabbing that dog.
Ooh, what?
Yeah, a guy stabbed a dog in Mexico, and he's like, who is this fucking guy? And I was like, I'm not gonna watch a guy stab a dog.
Who are you? Why are you
right? And
oh
he
God.
Never got, he didn't get blocked.
Well, I Sorry wonder what digress. The difference is. So they said I just said, you know, I'm not aiming it at anyone, and it was generic enough where that if you hate Trump, that could be who you thought of, but it's for whoever your old man is. And plus, I just did a show on the CW where I specifically said I'm waiting for my mother to die. I can't wait. Here's ways I'm trying to kill her.
Yes.
And
yes.
The clip was on Twitter. It was.
You got 3 minutes on waiting for your old woman, lady mom to
yes,
die.
Yes, yes, yes. So it didn't. So
it
that,
reminds me of that Facebook thing.
What?
Who said, the comic who said men should, it was.
Oh, Marsha Belsky.
Marsha Belsky.
Right.
She, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And she got kicked off Facebook.
Right.
Because she just said something along the lines of, men have to shut the fuck up and die, or something. It wasn't even.
When it's that generic, it's not. It's,
well, men are a protected group. Women are not.
And there's no one taking. It's like men and women. We should be equal, but we're not. And so the way we see men isn't the way society sees men isn't the way society sees women. So when women do something that's angled that way, it's not the same as when men do it. Even though if you switch the words out, guys would be like, "Well, it's not fair. What if I said that?" Well, it's not the same when you say it, because you can do whatever the fuck you want and no one gives a shit.
No
okay?
one cares. You get Got to... You, right.
So then I make that thing to Twitter. I said, you know, explained the tweet and told them they need to hire comedians to read it.
Uh-huh.
You're making so much money. Fucking hire some road comics to go through tweets and decide what's a joke or not,
right.
You know?
And then did you say at the end of it, I would like to be verified?
No, I don't, because that'll cause more attention.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's another thing. It would help to be verified because you look like you're a professional, but then all of a sudden you're in the crosshairs of MRAs that go after verified comedy writers, female comedy writers. They did it to the SNL writer, a couple Colbert writers. You know, we're going to get you fired for this tweet. I mean, at least I wasn't verified.
Right.
You know, at least no one, you know, probably went into Wikipedia to figure out I write for a late night show. You know? So then Twitter, maybe while investigating my defense of myself, found the reply, and then they suspended me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
you don't know when that'll undo?
I don't know when that will undo, and I just...
Have you already finished a third book because you're not tweeting all the time?
Here's the thing. I took Twitter off my phone the day before because I was like, what am I turning into? You know, I'm just like, and it's not even writing a tweet. It's like looking to see how it's doing and stuff and reading the news, but not reading the entire article, just getting the gist of it. And so I'm not, I don't know. I just didn't like the bite-sized brain I'm creating here.
Right.
When, you know, so I took it off and I just started reading the full Washington Post article. To me, that's like reading a novel now. I read to the end and the full New York Times article on various things that are going on, you know, various Trump articles.
If you
want to
get
like
the New Yorker, there's a Dork Forest
code.
Oh,
I can't handle the New Yorker. Not yet.
No, that's like reading an encyclopedia.
Yeah, I'm not that.
But 12 weeks for $6. You
know. I'm not that good.
With a Ranger code.
So,
anyway, let's buy a code, you guys.
So now I'm not on Twitter, and I don't know what the outcome's going to be. And part of me is like, well, why would I want to be?
If this I
is
gave out your Venmo address. I was like, she's doing all of her tweets on Venmo now. And then everyone could send you a dollar.
Nice. Why would I want to participate in a site that's, I mean, if you look at what, here's the thing that galls me is I have to prove that I'm not going to harm people to Twitter.
Yes.
This site that has probably contributed to this election that put a lunatic in office and at minimum is accelerating the death of the planet, or at least the way we're going to experience it as humans, I have to get Twitter's permission?
Right.
Fuck you.
Right. Amen.
You get my permission for what you did to this election.
Did you want to call this episode Fuck Twitter?
Yeah.
Because I would support that.
So, I don't know. I mean, you know, it's a tool for comedians. It's a good way to market stuff. I mean, maybe if I'd been able to tweet this show, we had more people.
I retweeted a lot of things. And okay. I said, remember when Kilmartin was on Twitter? And then I retweeted your last tweet about this show. But it's kind of like, I want you to come back on because it's kind of like being at your own wake. Yeah. Everyone misses you so much. There was so many. It's like, what's going to happen? Is she coming? I tell her we love her. And there was a lot of that. It was genuinely a lot of that. So you can, it'd be like being at your own funeral.
Yeah, and I don't want whoever turned me in to win. But then I'm like, I don't know this person. Why do I give a fuck what this person thinks?
I know.
They're going to do a dance on it. Twitter's not real. These things aren't real. They don't pay money.
Right.
They take up time. They take up space on my brain. You know, I don't know. And we're coming in, part of me is like, well, we're coming into election where we're probably going to have a female candidate. And do I just want to get punched in the stomach every single day?
Right.
Or do all of us who can handle it get out there and fucking punch back?
Yeah. Right.
You know,
well,
but then we're all just in a melee together.
Right.
With who? Bots? You know, 17-year-old Macedonians? I mean, right. who is getting a piece of my head? You know, what's the point of all this? So right now I just don't know. And I don't want to like, oh, I'll go on Instagram. I'm not like a photo person. You know, I'm not a selfie person. And so maybe Instagram.
And there's more to it than that. I do hotel art. And clearly there are some. There's nothing funnier to me than the fact that people look forward to hotel art. It's admirable. It's that's nuts.
Yeah.
I don't know what you should do, but I know that your tweets are amazing. So I would be disappointed.
They're just tweets. Who fucking cares? They're little words on a fucking website
but they're
go
funny.
Away in 10 seconds.
I know, but they're funny, and sometimes I do a screenshot and put them on Facebook.
Oh,
hello. And then but you're tagged. And, okay, so let's talk about my Sketchfest.
Okay. Yes.
So I did two shows yesterday. I did Nato and Moshe Kasher. Nato Green, Moshe Kasher have a show called Iron Comic. Have
right.
you ever done it?
I don't think so.
Okay, it's like Iron Chef
right.
in the way that it's you get suggestions from the audience. They go through them. They make fun of at least 30 of them and
right.
say, we're not doing this. And then they throw it on the ground. And very fun. And then you and like too many other comics, but super fun. It was actually...
So some people in the audience were at that show last
yeah,
night.
Yeah. There's
lots of...
Yeah, they...
A lot of emotion from stage left.
Yeah, it was... but it was... It ended up being really fun, but there were a lot of comics, and it was weird topics and quite honestly, the only one taking it seriously seemed to be Amy Miller. And she won, and she was fucking hilarious, and she freaking nailed it. And at one point turned it into a roast of Andy Kindler. And she was outstanding. But her and Greg Barron ended up, because you go three rounds, and then there's a head-to-head with the two people. And there are no stakes. Right. You win nothing. You gain nothing. you come out of it possibly with a maybe a partial joke.
Okay.
I wrote a dick joke. I mentioned manga. I might have had two things.
That's
but the
listen. It's always brave to write a dick joke. I added a dick joke to my consent bit.
I know. I saw that. It's good. That's good. That consent bit's coming right along.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Anyway, so that was really fun. Incredibly supportive audience. Mm-hmm. I think that that they've done it a bunch, and so they have a really great following. The next show I did was called Three Headliners, which, of course, by the semantics don't even work. but because it was...
Is it three separate shows?
Right, exactly. It was the MC and then a headliner, and then the MC, then a headliner. No, it was one damn show, and we were all just doing 25s.
Right, right.
And it was fine.
Three people who frequently do 45 doing 20.
Right.
Now, that's a lot to put on a poster.
It is a it's hard to change the names. And so it was me, Andy Kindler, and Kevin Pollak.
Okay.
And Kevin Pollak is very much a storyteller and said he hadn't done it in a while, but he was fine, except for that he got up, he did a lot of stories, and he was entertaining enough.
So was it stories about famous people?
Somewhat.
Okay.
There were some stories about famous people, and then... And then he did some impressions like he always does.
Okay.
And those were fun. But it was fun, but it wasn't...
Who were the impressions?
Don't know.
Okay. Did you not know who they were?
I didn't know who they were.
Johnny Carson.
Oh, he did an impression of Johnny Carson and Christopher Walken. And
Columbo,
the Columbo guy.
What? Oh, my God. Well, those are the classics. Now, you can't go wrong with the classics. Columbo. Yeah.
Marlon Brando.
Brando, still alive? So, yeah, it's all good. Okay.
Johnny Carson's dead.
Christopher Walken is under 80.
Right. Well, I mean, the thing is what was interesting and what was funny were these stories, and they were fascinating sort of show busy stories, but it wasn't straight stand up, and it wasn't even storytelling stand up, where because I tend to do a more storytelling stand up, mm-hmm. where it's a story with punchlines peppered through it, and so it started at 10:30. It actually started at 10:40. The kid did 10-15 minutes to begin, yeah. And then
in what club?
Cobbs.
So Cobbs is a gigantic room. It is a tough room to do comedy in. I'm doing
right.
a set tonight. It's just huge.
It's got these vaulted ceilings.
Yes, and there's people up and down, and so you have to have a lot of energy to capture everyone.
Right, because, and everyone was tired, and
yeah.
it was, and the NATO show was so fun.
Yeah.
And so casual.
Was that also at Cobbs?
It was also at Cobbs,
okay.
right before it. And it was also full.
Yeah.
So they were both full, but the second audience was just tireder. Everyone was sleepier. They were in this rhythm of sort of going, oh, that's an interesting story.
Right.
And then I got up and I tried to fill a cavernous room with stand-up comedy, yeah. which I could not do, and then I became enraged. I was so full of rage that when I got off stage, I was so mad at myself, I had to leave.
Well,
I was like,
because you had followed, you had followed a lot of maybe not laugh out loud performances.
Right, they were
and
laughing
so
and
you
then they
had
were a, listening.
A tired audience that hadn't been prepared and maybe was getting restless.
Yeah. yeah.
And they're still restless the day after.
The day after, so, they're like, yeah, yeah, we were a little restless. We were sleepy.
Yes, angry audience. That's never what you want. You don't want restless and tired.
And I could not. And I couldn't be big enough to warm them up, bring them back to stand-up comedy, and fill that room. I couldn't do it, and I tried, and then I turned on them. And And I have not been that mad at a stand-up show since I did Ireland 2 years ago.
Wow.
And the thing is the only thing that fixes that is another set. So I was glad to do a set before this show.
Yeah.
Because you guys just like me. And I needed to work on these jokes, and I was trying to work on these jokes, and they were, the response I was getting from the first four rows that I could see was enormously, like, they were sort of leaning into it and going, oh, yeah, that's interesting. And I'm like, fuck you. I don't want to be interesting. I want you to laugh at this weird, tiny twist and then come up with a new line like I just did in front of you, bastard.
That was a great line.
That was a good line.
That's a great one.
And so, I don't know. So I left and I was sort of, I was, it was funny though because I was, Alex Edelman was there.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm full of rage. I got to leave. And he goes, why? I thought it went really well. And I was like, because that's the other thing about Cops is you can't tell how well you did in a room that...
It's true. The laughs go up.
The laughs go up and dissipate unless it's this enormous...
Yeah.
You know, unless it's super... unless there's a lot of energy already in the room.
Right.
You can't really tell how well you're doing. But people came... You know, people were leaving... because they were so tired, people left during fucking Andy's set. Mm-hmm. And I was walking out, and the manager of the club, he was like, oh, you were really funny. And I was like, yeah? And
you accept no compliments.
Oh, my God. You're brutal.
And then I was just trying to backpedal a little bit, and I was just like, no, I just needed to be carried off stage and in a standing ovation. I'm so sorry. He was just like, no, you were great. And then he told me the last time Bill Burr did that room, he got off stage and he said to the guy, how do you think that went? Because Bill Burr couldn't tell how it went because sometimes the laughs go up and dissipate, which is so... I got back to the hotel. I couldn't go to the after party. Did you go to the after party?
No, I was tired. I was tired. I'll talk about how tired I am in a sec. Finish your story.
Well, the only end of the story is just someone asked me if I was going to the after party, and my answer to all after parties is pretend I was there till the end. Oh my God, Jackie was the last one to leave at 4 a.m. She might still be there. And I will have been asleep for 4.5 hours.
No, I ran into Andy Kindler today. He was coming out of the Fillmore Bakery, which I couldn't go into because there's no seat, so I went up to Jane. He told me about Jane, which is up the street. Anyway, had a great croissant and a delicious latte. But he goes, oh, you and Jackie, you guys don't have guests. We don't have guests. We might do one together, our podcast. I go, oh, the one you do with John Levenstein? And he's like... No, Josh Weinstein.
Josh Weinstein.
So anyway, I'm anti-Semitic.
Huge reveal. Josh Weinstein, it's Elvis. He goes by Elvis.
I knew. I just I steened it.
Because there's too many Josh Weinsteins in the world. Yeah. And
I mixed him up with John Levenstein, who's not even a Josh Weinstein at all.
Oh, right. You're right.
Right.
Okay.
He's on Twitter.
Because Josh is a Mystery Science Theater 3000.
Yeah, I know who he is. I know who he is.
He was on Freaks and Geeks.
Yes, I got it, Jackie.
He was 16 when he started. He was a genius.
Oh, my God.
Okay, I'm just Let me tell you a little bit more about Josh. Real nice guy. He used to have a great joke about ice fishing back in the 90s. He did. He really did. He's a Minneapolis comic.
When people say they used to have a joke, that means, to me, that means somebody's taken the joke.
Oh.
No.
No, in my case, I'm like, stop fucking doing that joke 30 years ago.
No,
to Josh.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he should stop fucking doing that joke.
Why are we attacking him? Unnecessarily.
Oh, I'm not attacking. Wait, are you saying I'm attacking? Yes, you are.
Yes.
Okay.
So I had last night. I didn't go to the after party. I was I said yes to two podcasts yesterday, and then I was so pissed at myself. I haven't been home on a weekend since December 21st, and I'm tired. So I'm just, a part of me is just like, I'm getting frazzled. I need to be under covers.
Yeah. You need to be in your own home.
Yes.
On a weekend.
Yeah.
Where you can just sort of relax.
Yes. So.
Yeah. I have exactly the same.
You do. So we started the Conan show started this week. So it's been a lot of like, ooh, you know, just a lot of frantic energy.
Has it been fun?
Yeah, it's fun. It's different. I mean,
yeah.
We're not writing like 40 jokes a day at the moment. I don't know. You know, we're the mono's changing a little bit. It's a little more conversational and then going right into comedy because we don't have a lot of time. Yeah. So it's different. But it might change, you know, it might get a little more jokey. You know, like the first week back, it's sort of addressing the first week and stuff like that.
You got to figure out.
We'll see. But
vibe.
I also have like sketchy things in the works. That's not what I'm...
Sketches? You've written some sketches?
No. Oh,
You're a sketch writer?
No.
No.
No, I'm not. But I've had some stuff on the show that wasn't jokes. I've had like, you know, bigger things and stuff.
Desk
like
pieces?
Yes. Pieces. But I always need, it's, you know, I'm like the, you know, your hand has to be held by the sketch person because you're like, okay, here's the film editor. Now you sit with him and, but what do I do? We're probably going to be able to do more of that stuff, which is good. It's cool. It's just different. And so that's a new thing to get used to. And and then on Friday night, I did Story Smash, Christine.
Showed up. I was there after.
Yeah. And, I saw you guys. I saw you and Jackie Fabulous. You guys are both on the same show. The improv tagged the wrong Jackie,
put my name on the list, but they tagged Jackie Fabulous, and so Jackie Fabulous texted me and tweeted at them and said, is it Jackie Cation or Jackie Fabulous is going up tonight? And so I got an email from the improv saying, hey, you're doing the show tonight, right? And I said, yeah, but I'm the only woman. Why don't you give her a set? And and they said, yeah, you're right. I didn't realize. And and that show, by the way, I had to leave.
But two women, two Jackies on a show.
Two Jackies.
That's very rare.
We're like the Joshes of comedy.
Oh, by the way, just to circle back. So the booker that I was talking to about the club, I kind of said, I'm not really blue. I think it might be this guy. And the booker went back to the guy and got me a week.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So it all worked out, except I'm kicked off Twitter.
Except you're kicked off Twitter. By the way, that night I had to leave because I saw, there were some comics that I liked them as people.
Yeah.
For the most part.
Right.
Work friends. but literally, it was a 15-minute set of, was I in the lab? Whatever. One of them was in the lab and one of them was in the main room and I couldn't watch three of it. So I saw two of it and so I saw him and it was 15 minutes of Bitches, Man.
Oh,
and
but he's got other stuff that's brilliant.
Brilliant.
He does.
Yes. And then this guy was going up next and I'm like, it's going to be 15 more minutes of Bitches. And I can't.
Was it?
I didn't stay.
Oh,
the last
time
I tried to stay, all he did was bitch about the Me Too thing and how it wasn't fair.
The second guy? No, seriously? Wow. Interesting.
Interesting and bullshit.
But it's every time there's a complaint, I'm like, what did you do?
Right, you exactly, know? Right? And the thing is, you slapped an ass once. That's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But stop doing that, too, obviously.
Yeah. They don't get it, or they did something.
Either they did something, or they're they stood next to Kevin Spacey and didn't stop it, right?
Well, I did Story Smash, which is a panel show, like you're judging stories.
Yeah.
And
how was that? She's wanted me to do it.
She's great. And it's fun. But I realized, I don't love being part of a panel. And I haven't since Tough Crowd, where you're basically fighting to get a word in. But in this case was a little more formalized. So it was fun. But I'm like, oh, this isn't my natural state on stage. Even sitting here next to you, I want to stab you and get you off stage.
So I was going to say, this is the tiniest of all panels, and you're always uncomfortable.
I know. So as a performer, my natural state is to be alone, right? Right, for you too as well.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
We're not a team act, and so...
Wait, didn't somebody ask us if we could both do a thing?
Yes, on stage together as comics. Oh my God. Absolutely.
Absolutely not.
Like Sonny and Cher? No.
Can I be the
one
captain?
One then the other. One then the other.
Yes, okay? That's right.
So
back
stand-up's
to back.
A solo thing.
So, it's a solo activity.
So I was like a little antsy, like just personally antsy from sharing the stage because I'm selfish, okay? And then I realized as I'm doing these two other podcasts, I'm like, I've had like three of these experiences in 20 hours where I'm not the center of attention.
Yes.
But I'm sharing mics and I don't like it. And
oh, you had to share a mic?
Well, you know, sharing, you know what I mean? Like sharing the audience, right? Yeah.
But and I literally sharing a mic is the worst.
No. Yeah, that's bad. But that sort of causes me this weird anxiety that probably no one could understand, and everyone within.
You know who's
stupid.
Really good at sharing mics?
Who?
Improv people. I've actually
I don't like them.
I've been on a panel with improv people where they've known when to pause so that someone else can talk.
Yeah.
And I literally have had to put the mic down so that I didn't just jump into every gap that was organically created by people who were clearly raised by nice people.
Well,
and
but also comedically, they learned that's what their job is, to listen to each other and find shit, and that's why they all make a lot of money working for The Office or creating TV shows, because they know how to do that.
Yeah.
Stand-ups, I'm on stage, and if there's a fire out there, I have to. In the audience, I immediately piss on the person and put it out. It's not.
I wondered if you were going to go with a peeing thing. You did.
I did. I just created a new dick joke. I'm clearly in a theme. But okay. I mean, it's a different energy, and so you're used to just stamping out any potential rebellions.
Right.
The improv people.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it works out better for them in the long run, but it is.
It's hard to. It's a learned skill.
Yes.
And I don't want to learn it.
Either.
Sadly. Can I tell you about March?
But I know Maria once. Didn't she study with UCB for like
Bamford?
2 years ago? Didn't
she? Maria's consistently taking 101 improv classes from everyone. Yeah, she took stand-up classes from Judith Shelton, the intro to stand-up class.
When?
Last year.
What the fuck?
Yeah. Maria's like, well, maybe I'll learn something. And I'm like, maybe you will.
Oh, my God.
I don't want to.
I don't want to either.
Hey, let us do Comic of the Week before we forget.
Oh, right?
Yeah.
Are we at 30?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's Dina?
Dina Hashem.
Dina Hashem?
Yes.
DinaHashem _ on Twitter. I'm
Unless
so
it's
sorry.
Hashem.
It's on Twitter.
Yeah.
It might be Hashem.
I wouldn't know
it's
what's
Dina
on Twitter.
I know.
Let's not bring it up.
Exactly. But that's her Twitter handle, you guys. It's an _ at the end of her name.
Yes.
D-I-N-A-H-A-S-H-E-M.
She's very funny. We just saw her. What did we see?
I watched. It was a Comedy Central set.
Oh, yeah.
It was a Comedy Central set. And she's one of the newer comics, obviously, right? Because she's probably 30. And she is.
If she's
kind
under
of
30,
deadpan.
She's screaming right now. What the fuck?
Right? She might be. She's essentially 12.
Yeah.
And, she's
under,
super funny.
Under 35, to me, you could be 18 to 35. I really
can't
tell.
Right. Everybody. And she speaks. She's sort of deadpan, but not deadpan.
Yeah. Like
it can be sexual and it can be dark, but it's also really smart and silly. I fucking love that set on Comedy Central. You get a chance to see Dina Hashem, or Hashem. Mm-hmm. I did not hear her being introduced, I don't remember how to pronounce her name, but it's Hashem _ on the Twitter and Dina. So she's great.
Yes.
And then the other thing we might as well do for
is
Max Fun.
Yeah, we do too. We're going to promote two pods on Max Fun. And they're promoting
on their
us,
network.
So.
And so they have, And so Amy Mann has a brand new podcast, you guys. Amy Mann and Ted Leo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's an amazing musician. Her voice just like, she does Conan sometimes. And I'm like, ugh. Like,
it's called The Art of the Process.
I just melt. Her voice is so pretty.
It's so pretty. The writing is so, her new album, which won the Grammy. Grammy last year.
Yeah.
I have it. It's outstanding. It's called, but the podcast with Ted Leo is called The Art of Process, and it's bi-week. It's every other week.
Oh.
Yeah. So Amy Mann and
that sounds delightful.
And Ted Leo. So yeah. So that's their podcast, and you're now going to hear them talk about themselves.
Hello, this is Amy Mann.
And I'm Ted Leo.
And we have a podcast called The Art of Process. We're talking about how the creative process is in itself an art form, in our opinion. There are underlying forms and structures that serve as a scaffolding for any creative endeavor.
We've been lucky enough over the past year to talk to some of our friends and acquaintances from across the creative spectrum to find out how they actually work.
We weirdly don't know as many musicians as you would expect.
New episodes will be coming every other Monday,
starting January 28th.
So please listen and subscribe at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcast.
Last week, I was looking at the worst travel day in the history of my life. And so I was supposed to, you know, leaving Boston. We were in Boston last weekend. Do you remember that? It was last fucking weekend.
It was last
and
weekend.
And JetBlue canceled every flight, like, on Friday. I'm like, oh, shit, this is awful.
Right.
And this one's like, yeah, I got my flight's still going. Delta's still going. Every Delta flight's still going.
You know
why?
Because it's a real net. It's an actual airline.
Yeah. You don't have to be an asshole, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry. The impression of me made me think that I was one already.
So I'm up, like, and I was supposed to take, like, a 6 a.m. Amtrak to JFK to try to get on this thing.
Yeah.
So I'm up at 3 in the morning because I can't sleep the night before. I have to wake up, and I'm like, this is going to be awful.
It's going to be the first week of Conan, new Conan.
Everything's awful.
Right.
I'm going to have a 12-hour travel day and then show up for a full day at work on the first day we're back. Bad. So I'm like, I wonder what's going on at Delta. So I go online. There's that a same-day flight back to on Sunday back to LAX for $212.
Yeah, one way.
And
on
the
Delta.
JetBlue flight I just paid for on JFK that I have to get to was like almost $600.
Right.
I'm like, what the fuck? So then I log into my I have Evernote. That's how I use to organize all my Evermiles. So I go into my little Delta file. I have a credit from Acme. When I don't know what happened. I might have bought 2 tickets. I don't know what. I'm very poorly organized. So,
but not because you're on Evernote. Yeah,
that was for over $300. That was expiring in February of this year. So
it
I'm like, oh,
then.
The gods. So I call up Delta. That takes an hour. We're at 4 in the morning now. But they got me on this flight out, and then
JetBlue,
which is. Oh,
but wait.
We'll get to, okay. So then and then JetBlue refunded me for both flights. That was shocking. But
good work, JetBlue.
Well, they fucking should have.
Yeah.
But then I still had to pay extra the JetBlue flight I originally had.
And what about
had.
The Amtrak?
Hold on. One at a time.
Okay.
What am I, an improv performer that left a gap for you to jump in and fucking tap dance in?
I thought you could fight me off.
I'd have to piss on you, you know.
I'm not a Republican. Go.
But JetBlue, I said to the guy who's canceling both these flights, I go, why did you guys cancel? Like, Delta's flying. I had multiple options on Delta. Same day. And there are open seats on every flight. And he goes, yeah, the FAA made us cancel. JetBlue has low status at Logan, and so they had to cancel all their flights. He sounded really depressed.
Well, I'm sure his day was made much more complicated because of it.
Wait, then I call Amtrak. I'm like, oh, I'm just going to eat this.
Yeah.
You know? And I thought maybe we could make it Amtrak dollars I could use another time. Full refund.
Full refund as well.
$81, but still.
Oh, that's awesome. So that worked out amazing.
Yeah, but all that unnecessary trauma, I'm still angry about that. All the worrying, like trying to figure it out. What do I fly out of?
You got an exit row, too.
I did get an exit row.
Yep.
Yeah, thank you for coming back to economy to visit me, asshole. She was in first class on the flight that I was on.
I got bumped up to a pod.
She was laying flat, supine, sleeping for 6 hours while I was upright in economy.
With a lot of leg room. But who brought you peppermint bark Oreos? This one right here.
You did. But you didn't want them. That's why you brought them to me. I know that. And I didn't want them
you would
either,
be incorrect.
But I ate them anyway. Well,
if you didn't want them, you can fucking... Those are amazing.
They were really good.
We're friends. You don't know it. All right, so... Okay, so I have been driven mad because of how much I've been traveling.
Right.
And so Aaron Foley, mutual friend, said, for
hilarious.
The love of God, take some time off.
Yeah.
Take it off. Like, no travel. Just take some time off. And I was like, you mean just be in L.A. and do sets? And...
Yeah, that's what I would take it to mean.
I know. And that's what I take it to mean. And she said, no. But okay. And so that's what I did. So I blocked off the first 3 weeks of March and was immediately offered 3 weeks of work in the first 3 weeks of March.
See, I would have taken it immediately.
Well, I turned it down because I am about to turn into a puddle. And so I can't, I need the time at home. So yeah. I'm doing one gig that you got me up here.
Let me tell you how much that hurt.
I know, because you were like, wait, it's in March. I could do it.
Well... I could have done it.
Right, and I offered it back to you because God
knows.
Already
took... I didn't feel like... I felt like, oh, no. And then you were doing all the extra work. But yeah.
Oh, my God, you could still have it.
No, that's okay.
Oh, my God, I swear to God, it's a private. It's a weird corporate.
Here's the thing. The guy...
It's an old friend of yours.
Yes, very funny guy. He DMs me on Twitter back when I was able to read DMs. And offers me a gig, and he said it's January 31st, which is next Thursday, and it's 7 o'clock here in San Francisco. So the closest I can meet.
When you get back on Twitter, by the way, you should double check to make sure that he did say January 31st.
He did. I did.
Oh yeah. Oh good.
I checked. And I said, I can't leave. We just started the show. Just started back. I can't leave before the show starts taping on the third. Like, we start taping at 4:30. I'd have to leave at like 3 to catch this flight to get there. So I said, I can't. I go because it pays a lot. And I was like, I can't. I go, but I can give you 4. He asked for other women,
right?
And so I gave 3 names.
Yep.
And then you got the gig. And,
I got the gig.
And then you said, yeah, I'm, it's in March.
Yeah.
And I said, no, it's next Thursday.
Right.
And he gave me the wrong date.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I swear to God, you can have it.
No, 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 no.
No, not, because well, he might do it again. And
yeah, it's fine.
Do you want the 10%? No. For booking it?
Yeah.
No.
You immediately said no and looked that way. I'm like, what the fuck?
All right, let's talk about the merch. So we get the bags and we have notebooks and bags,
yes.
Right? And mm-hmm. Live shows, they're 10 bucks each. If I have to mail them to you, they will be $20 each because fuck you. It's not that bad, but I mean, the thing is, it's like...
It's a pain in the ass. Who wants to mail stuff?
Well, because to mail anything, it's anywhere between, like, $2.66 to $4.64.
Right, you got to write the address. And
there's,
yeah.
There's an envelope that's 50 to 75 cents, blah, blah. And then above and beyond that, there's me leaving. So what I do, the house, to go and drop them off places.
Right.
Now, so I tell you that I'm doing this. We get, like... 10 or 20 orders or something.
Well, you did. No one asked me for anything.
No, that's because your email address is, for some reason, not as memorable as jackie@jackiecation.com. but whatever. So people are PayPaling me and Venmoing me, and we're doing it, and it's fine. And so I'm keeping sort of a spreadsheet of what it is so I can give you your half of the money. And so I'm writing it out, and so I write to you, and I say, I don't want to just split the profit with you. I want more money. And you say, well, I agree. Just do whatever you think is right so that you're not mad at me. And and let me know. And I was like, well, I don't like that sort of. And so... Well, so
did you want pushback?
No, I don't know what I wanted, but I called my sister for like an algorithm. And
what?
And so my sister says, well, I have a very good variable of what to pay yourself. And so she told it to me. It was very complicated and it seemed enormously fair. And I was like, or She said, or you could just pay yourself an hourly. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
And so, because the variable was based on what the postage, whatever.
Oh, no.
And it was, there was
if
such a project.
You don't want to do it, and there's no reason you should.
Right.
We should just hire someone to.
Well, and Max Fun will fulfill. Max Fun said that they have a merch option.
Okay.
So we'll figure it out. But so, and then I was telling you about the money, and you said something that just sent chills down my back because of how I was raised. You said, well, you're so honest, and you're just going to be so honest about this. And I was like, who are you talking to? You can't possibly.
You used to be a thief. I totally forget.
Yeah, I am the. I spend all of my time trying not to commit crimes. I spend every waking moment going, am I a monster? Not today.
I trust you, the process you go through.
Right, which is right. It was, but it was hilariously terrifying when you said it. I was like, what? What's happening? So,
well, you're like, so you can double check my work. I'm like, I'm sure it's
I'm fine. Yeah, that's
I'm
right.
Sure, it's fine.
So, are you working?
Sure, you're not taking my notebook money. I mean,
yeah. For sure you're getting $5 a notebook. Know that
minus
in your heart.
They cost, yes.
No, because we've already paid for that.
Yeah,
we've
yeah,
already
but
taken
I mean,
that
you have
out.
To
yeah.
Incorporate that into
your sure. That's the math is very fascinating. No, I'm bored already of the math. And, but it is working out, so it's just fine. So what are you working this week? Tomorrow this will go up tomorrow. It's Sunday.
I'm in Los Angeles
at various
places.
I'm home all week myself doing various places, and then I'm going to Denver doing the Comedy Works, the outside of town one.
Awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Shit.
There goes your water. Oh, and it's leaking. Wow, that's great. Weren't you just there like a year ago?
I wasn't. I was there the week of the election.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
Hillary Clinton won the election, was not inaugurated.
Right.
And then I went to Denver.
Oh, that's right.
And there was a stunned look on absolutely everyone's face.
Right.
And so this time I'm going out to Greenwood, I think it is. And it should be fun. Because I've been...
How many Comedy Works do they have?
Maybe two?
There's two. Because when we did a show, Conan did a show in Denver, and
yeah.
We drove by one on the freeway.
Oh, there you go.
But that wasn't the downtown.
That wouldn't have been the downtown one. That would have been the rural
one. Is that the one you're doing?
I believe so.
Okay.
And I'm really looking forward to it, because I really like the downtown one a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And when you headline, you get a zip hoodie. And I rip my zip hoodie. And,
oh, that's nice.
Yeah. And so I get this. So I was emailing them my avails, and I was getting nothing. And finally I said, hey, I need a new zip hoodie. I ripped it. And I got a week later. It was like, all you need, this is a classic Elliot Cation. They're like, I need a good story. That's it. You just got to engage the audience. And then you get work. It's so weird.
I'm excited because I'm going to be in New York 2 weekends in a row at the end of February.
Yep.
And the first one is our weekend when we're doing...
QED
yes.
on the 16th.
And before that show, I'm going to do a set at Eastville, which is in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
It moved. It moved to Brooklyn, which means
wow.
you can't get to it. There's no
right.
point. On a,
right. There's
yeah.
no...
But
there's
I'm
no
like, I'm already in Queens.
There.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll do a show there. And then the following weekend, I love this the Tetris... When you're trying to like fit all your spots in exactly.
Yeah.
And I emailed the comic strip and they're like, yeah, you can put in. And so I'm like 1 an hour for like 6 spots on almost, and maybe 5 spots Friday and 6 on Saturday. It's bam, 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 bam till midnight.
Wow.
7:30, like 7:15 to midnight.
Wow.
I'm so excited. I just love, because I'm like, oh, and there's enough time to get to all of them. I don't have to panic. It's just going to be
wow.
get off stage, get in a cab, go, be a
all
few
right,
minutes
everyone
early.
Make a note, because the week after that, let's hear how that went. Because I'm going to New York, and I'm doing all the cool kid shows.
Yeah.
Which means I have to wander around Brooklyn and Queens.
Yeah.
Which means... whatever money I'm making is going to be spent on lifts.
Right.
And then I'm doing the Upper West Side Club.
Stand-up
New York. So I'm doing a couple of spots that week.
I'm doing... I have... For 2 nights, I have a stand-up New York, and then I go, bing, right to the comic strip, right through Central Park.
Oh, cross the... Cross.
It's such an easy cab ride. It's like 15 minutes at
right.
the most.
It goes right through the park, and then bing,
yeah,
you're right
you're
there.
Right there.
I wanted... I would love to do the comic strip. So you have that email address?
Yeah, I do.
All right.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Because New York City.
I don't know if... I know him from way back.
Right. And yes. He may or may not be interested in me, but I'm, you know, I won't invoke your name. I'll just say
you can
invoke my name. It's and then I'll just, because that's the rule with comedy. You don't invoke a name unless you've asked. Otherwise, you just do his cover letter like a person. And
somebody, I don't. Too many people are interested in comedy. That's. Somebody emailed me about looking at their packet, and they were a banker ahead for like a year. I'm like, whoa! It's just that's a big switch.
It's a big leap.
Yeah, I mean, it could come true, and maybe
I did an interview with somebody. I think for the Milwaukee show, I'm doing a show on February 14th,
right.
With Carmen Morales.
Oh, cool!
That's going to be an awesome show, and she picked up a couple. Oh, get this. So. There's no money in this. You know how like... And
in
I've
Milwaukee?
Already...
You're going to Milwaukee for no money?
Right, because I can stare at my dad.
Right. Right.
The aging process. You got to go look at the elderly.
Is Carmen also going to stare at your dad?
She's going to get to meet my dad. And the only people that have met my dad are Maria Bamford. And,
what if Carmen is your new stepmom? We know your dad. We know Elliot.
I already warned her that he's going to be like, so you're Cuban. And she said, oh, I will give as good as I get.
Your
and
stepmom
I was like,
works the store.
She does work the store. Good for her.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Oh, I noticed that. Good for her. Maybe it got by a few other people, but I knew it. I saw it.
It just makes me want to. Except for that there's, again, nowhere to park. So, but the thing is...
Yeah, there's a huge lot up. You have to walk up above, you know, I mean, walk
this
down
below. This doesn't accelerate... This what? I need to valet park. I need to park. I just, yeah.
Oh, okay.
I don't want to spend $20.
Okay.
Anyway,
it's 15.
So. 15? All right. Yeah. Yep. Are you not tipping anyone?
No. To valet, I tipped a valet, but I mean, the parking garage above the Comedy Store is like $15. I mean, it's still a lot, but you know, you don't have to like circle.
No.
Sunset Strip for 6 hours looking, waiting for the little, the $2 parking
lot. I'm
going to
finish the story about Valentine's Day. So she, part of her pay, because there's no money in it, is there's, you know, like a couple $100 or something, was I said she could have some frequent flyer miles and that I could fly her there. And then she wouldn't have to, you know, then she wouldn't have to pay to do stand-up comedy.
Right.
Because it's going to be fun to have someone that I like on the show, you know?
Well, I take that personally.
Yeah, you should. Did you want to come make $200?
No.
My father would fucking love you. He loves a blonde. Anyway, But the thing is, so she picked up two other sets. She picked up a Samara. You know Samara in Milwaukee? She used to book the club
name.
That was in Milwaukee, but
I know
no club
that
anymore.
Name. I think she never booked me. That might be why I know that name.
Right.
I remember sending her avails the old way.
And like, her mom, with like a tape.
Yeah, I don't think she ever booked me.
No, neither one of them ever. I'm Christ-like in their minds. My miracles don't
work. Book?
The one on Brady Street?
Yeah, they never booked me. I fucking know Samara. Yeah, very familiar with that.
Oh, yeah. So she booked...
Samara, it's Lori Kilmartin. I'll be driving out to Chicago to work a Who's On First. Maybe I could MC your room.
Nope.
Nothing.
Not silence. Well, she books Carmen.
Wow. Wow.
But she booked Carmen in like Sheboygan or like some weird city in Wisconsin, and then up at the top of Wisconsin, and I think they only pay. I don't know what they pay, but I was like, wait, is the feature going to drive you? And she said, allow me to call you right back. And so she gets back. She's like, yes, the feature will drive, and I'll give them. And so I had to change her flight. And get this. So I changed her flight, and I got 24,000 points back. It was somehow cheaper.
Oh.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. I jumped in a lot of cars with other comedians that I probably shouldn't have been.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
did you ever get attacked?
No. I just mean, like, the car's not in good shape. If someone were to sideswipe us, the airbags wouldn't go off. Like, there's Sometimes you don't want to be in the features car.
Sometimes you don't want to be in anybody's car. I was always the feature who had to drive.
Yeah.
And you certainly didn't want... I remember one time...
I was a very responsible driver.
Judy Tenuta said she wouldn't get in my car once.
Oh.
Yeah. I was emceeing at the Comedy Gallery at Galtier Plaza in St. Paul, Minnesota. And Scott Hansen volunteered me to drive her back to her hotel room. Mm-hmm. And she looked at me and she goes, "What kind of car?" I said, "It's an 83 Ford Escort with a Big Dog sticker on the door." And she said, "Nope."
Good. She saved her life that night. She saved her life.
Guess who lived? Me. That car was $400 and worth every dime.
I got Botox yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
And today's Sunday, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Friday. Okay. So I brought the clip of me on the CW, and I said, "What the fuck is happening with my neck?"
Oh.
Because I don't know. I mean, don't look at it now.
You saw me look at your neck.
Yes,
I'm very sorry. Well, you mentioned you
are not remotely sly. You're
don't introduce a gun into the plot, Mr. Chekhov. It's not my fault.
So she's like, she goes, "It doesn't look like that now." And it might have been the lighting from underneath with the gala, but I was like, "What? Oh my God. Like, what am I supposed to do? Cross my hair? Like, do a braid in front of my neck to cover it up?"
Sometimes older ladies will wear those chokers.
Scarves. I know, but everyone's on to you when you do that.
Right,
and
right.
Same with turtlenecks, okay? So,
but Botox, nobody's on to that. They're like, is she 23?
She goes, "There's something coming out that it's called Aqua Gold." There's always dumb names. But I'm like, "All right, but let me know when it comes out. I'll try it. I can't take this."
All right.
But then because she saw my set, you know,
yeah.
She's like, then we started talking about comedy, which as she's like, she's sticking a needle in my face.
Talking about stand-up, asking you about CK?
She goes, "My favorite comic is Bill Burr." And I go,
"Okay.
Oh, that's great. He's really funny." And I go, "So who's your favorite female comic?" And stumped.
Yeah.
And then she starts describing somebody. I can't figure out who it is. Maybe Whitney Cummings, maybe Toadie Field. Like, who the fuck knows?
Right.
It's not. And then she goes, "Oh, there's this Asian lady." And I go, "Oh, Ali Wong?" "No."
"Helen Hong?"
"Yes."
"Oh, wow."
"No." And I go, "Jenny Yang?" Because Helen and Jenny are on the cusp of greatness,
yeah,
but
yeah.
They're not super famous yet. So I'd be shocked if a woman who didn't know anything about female comedy only knew Helen or Jenny, right?
Right.
"No." And then I'm like, I go, "No." I go, "Margaret Cho?" "Yeah!" Who the fuck doesn't know Margaret's name?
Right.
That's like not knowing... Madonna, like, "Oh, she was a singer. She did, like, I
she was
believe...
like Wham, but she was a lady."
It's crazy that you'd have to struggle with that name and you think
is
you're dropping.
Is it Irene too? I mean, it would have been so good if you just kept naming different women.
Like, of course it's not Margaret Cho. You know Margaret Cho's name. Like,
Oh, by the way, I watched a Netflix comedy special.
Whose?
Ellen DeGeneres's.
Yeah.
Relatable.
Yes?
And guess what? It was relatable. She did a... did you see it?
I did.
Oh, you saw it? I will... That stepladder joke was hilarious.
Yeah, I think
here's
I remember that one.
What I enjoy about stand-up comics, even if they've not done it for decades or whatever, or you haven't seen them, this is a terrible example. But when I saw Bill Cosby, I had not seen himself ever.
Right.
But I saw him do stand-up, and I was like, "Oh, he's just a comic."
Yeah.
And he's a really good comic.
Yeah.
But he's not blowing my mind. And what I liked about Ellen DeGeneres is that it was still smart and silly.
Yes, yes.
And it was the same kind of comedy. But it was obviously new topics and new stuff. And she had that through line about being fabulously wealthy, which I thought was which was, I thought, better done than Seinfeld does it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was much more relatable, oddly yes. enough.
And it was well done, but my only thing was, and, you know, this can happen to any comic.
Yep.
The bit she did about the waiter who doesn't write things down.
Yeah.
We, on Conan, we've had a recurring character of a waiter who interrupts and doesn't write anything down for years.
Right.
And it's like, oh, that's Dan Cronin's
That's
thing.
Covered. Right.
So that. So to me, I get very protective over people.
Other people's
when, it,
bits.
When I think
yeah.
that happens. So, but I'm sure she didn't know. And you
yeah,
know, you
and
have
it's
your. We just
geisty.
We just had a waiter today who didn't write things down, and people were making jokes. I'm like, ooh, this is
still Dan Cronin's. You say that at lunch? No, we sat in silence at lunch.
Yes.
Okay, so we should do the other Max Fun before we're done.
Yes.
And so the other one, it's called Can I Pet Your Dog? Which is the greatest name of a podcast since The Dork Forest. But Can I Pet Your Dog? It's with Allegra Ringo. I have not listened to this, but I will be listening to this because I loved all descriptions of this. It's on Max Fun. It's with Allegra Ringo and Renee Colvert. And it is essentially, they have dogs. One has a small dog, one has a big dog. They talk about dogs. They talk about the dogs that they've pet that day, the dogs that they've pet in the last week.
That is more niche than this show. That's amazing.
Can I Pet Your Dog with Allegra and Renee? And let's hear them talk about it too.
Is there a dog in a car at a bar on the street?
Yay! I'm Allegra Ringo, a small dog owner. My dog Pistachio howls when she's excited.
And I'm Renee Colvert, a big dog owner. My dog Tugboat tips over when he's sleepy.
And we co-host a podcast called Can I Pet Your Dog that airs every Tuesday. We bring you all things dog.
Yes, dog news, dog tech, dogs we met this week. We also have pretty famous guests on, but Legs, we're not going to let them talk about their projects.
No.
Just want to hear about those dogs.
We don't want to hear about your stuff, only your dogs. So join us every Tuesday on Max Fun.
Yeah, how much time have we done? Do we know?
Yeah, we're almost at an hour, because I just saw a red light behind you.
Oh, okay.
So we have about three minutes.
This is a terrible thing to close on. Let's do it. Did I talk about that email I got from the lady?
No.
About what I did my bit about my son putting a finger gun to his head. Did I talk about this on the podcast? No.
No.
So I do, my son, when he has a YouTube channel, and I have a joke about it now that I did on the CW thing, where he put a finger gun to his head and pretended to kill himself. And then I sort of make fun of that. And I got an email from somebody.
Your son killed herself, or?
Yeah. An all caps email. And it was, it was very, very upset. And she goes, your joke about suicide. And I was like, that's not what I call it. I call it YouTube. So we went back. I feel like I told you this,
yeah.
But I just said, I'm really sorry about your son, but I was just joking about my kid. And
yeah.
And then it de-escalated completely and kind of she.
Good.
It was
she
okay.
She sort of regrouped a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean.
Comedy is so hard.
You don't know how things are going to poke people in a way that you didn't intend.
Right.
You know? And sometimes people are, you hear a word and you can't hear it in the context that it's meant. Which I understand. I don't know.
Yeah. So the Horcrux album, I have that bit about crying during sex.
Yeah.
And how Andy and I kind of worked it out. And so...
Thank God for Andy. Jeez.
Thank God.
Yes.
it's an RPG joke, you guys. It's a little cosplay. And I would occasionally get people who would come up and talk to me about either crying during sex or them being attacked. And
yeah.
sometimes I had one woman at the Comedy Attic who, of course, Jared is awesome.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, yeah, we've all been attacked. And I was like, well, we can go with a middle ground. And he didn't say that to her, by the way.
To you, maybe.
He said it to me, and he was just like, yeah. But I mean, it's so hard when you trigger something, and because I know, like, J.F. Harris has this joke about being called gay when he was a kid.
Yeah.
And he gets these people who come up to him and say, hey, you can't use that word. And he was like, that's hurtful. And he goes, yeah, it was really hurtful when it happened.
When it to me.
Yeah. That's
why joke I wrote
you.
About it. Yeah.
That's why I wrote a joke about it, because it was super hurtful. And so, I mean, there's perspective, and nobody does any research. They just watch comedy. They just turn it off. Anyway.
Yeah. Wow. This
there's
is
no
the
end
most
to that
downer
story.
Of an ending yeah. we've ever had.
See live music this week. I'm going to go see a band with a guy who probably works at Twitter. Is it a cover band?
Yes, he definitely works at Twitter.
Okay. It's called Scary Pockets.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of Scary Pockets?
No. They Jackie, do cover- I haven't heard of music.
Right. Well, it's a thing where he holds a box with some strings and he goes plink. And then that's what music is. And then so let's build from there.
Right.
And what he and his merry band of people do is they do funk funk up classics.
Okay.
They just do and super fun to go see. And it's Andy's birthday, so we're going to go to a thing. Yeah, he was born.
Let's end on an awe.
And leave it.
All right, bye. To sign anything or whatever. Thanks for coming out. We really appreciate it. And thanks for listening.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.